You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
On Radio TFI.
Good morning, everybody. We are live on Radio TFI worldwide. It is the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI. I'm John Shannon. Thank you for joining us out there, whether you're listening to this live or listening to rebroadcasts or podcasts, the archive, however you're listening. We are happy you're here with us. And now let me introduce the founder, the big cheese of Radio TFI, Mr. Ed Van Ness.
Good morning, all. Greetings from fabulous Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here today. John, how are you this morning?
I am fabulous. Sore as hell, but I am fabulous.
Sore as hell? Why? Did you do anything special last night that kept you up all night?
No, yes. my wife texted me early in the day yesterday and said she wanted me to hunt down a couple of tickets for the Twins game. They were playing the Cleveland Indians. And we are, for people being on a very moderate budget, when it comes to going to a ball game, we don't settle for the cheap seats.
Excellent.
So, but that is a hell of a climb when you go up from the concourse all the way down to, you know, 12 rows away from the field.
Uh-huh.
That is a long walk upstairs. I had one thing in my favor. Yesterday they were giving gravity away. Yes, exactly. But they were giving away umbrellas.
Really?
And nice umbrellas, too. Today, or yesterday, was Prince Day. So they gave everybody, the first 10,000 people that showed up, a real nice umbrella with the image of Prince from Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
And that served as a great little walking stick as I was going back up those stairs for the second time.
And they actually let folks carry those umbrellas around the stadium?
Well, you know, it's funny because we had a little drizzle before the game started, and that's what and everybody was speculating that it was going to, we might need those umbrellas.
Right. Because if you remember, going way back, they used to have promotions like Bat Day, Ball Day, but then they realized you give 10,000 people small weapons, and it's not going to end well. And I can remember going to a Marlins game. And it was a bag day. They gave us these great little duffel bags with the Marlins logo on it. I still have it. But, of course, you're not allowed to bring a bag into the game. And literally, they handed you the bag as you walked in and said, here, enjoy your bag. Never bring it back here again. Anyway, so, hey, here we are.
This is great. I was actually kind of excited about this.
Me too. I love the smell of fresh paint. Brand new studios.
Thank the Three Stooges there for finally getting it done, huh?
I will pass along your kind words.
Yes.
Your kind words. Before we get any further in, new phone number, kids, if you're listening, you want to take part, we'd love to have you here. It's area code 720 720-1203. There's a pattern there. We didn't plan on it. I just noticed it the other day. 720-820-1203. There you go. So, there.
Feel free to call, but once again, if you're listening to this on a rebroadcast or on the from the archive and you try to call, we're not going to answer.
No. I'm going to sit there and watch it ring.
There you go.
Before we get into everything else that I know we're going to talk about,
okay.
You may have heard it in the open. Look at that. We have our first caller. We'll be with you in just a moment, caller. I dropped a little thing in there. It was from the Batman movie with Adam West. Oh, sorry, caller. We'll be right back. Call back. With Adam West, and there's a great scene where Batman's running around with a bomb, and he says the greatest line ever. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
From the movie.
That was from the movie. And that was in tribute to the late, great Adam West, who passed on this past week. And I'm sorry, I couldn't resist, and it was a horrible pun, but I haven't seen anybody else do it. To the back grave.
Oh, my God. Now we're going to start getting emails about how insensitive we are.
Well, we are. I watched, just to go off on that for a brief second, I was 7 years old when Batman came on the air. And it was Batman, it was two nights a week, and we just flipped out over it. We just loved it. And, of course, you know, a lot of the corniness went over our heads and all that. But
oh, it did.
You know, but I'm sorry. He embraced that for the rest of his life, and he just, you know, he had a good life, it appears. And he was in contention, by the way, Adam West, to play James Bond back in the day.
I thought that would have been a great match.
He was that close. But they put up a bat signal in Los Angeles the other night. It was really nice, really nice. So, let's move on.
You know, I got to tell you, the whole thing with Adam West, Adam West's Batman is what made me a fan of Batman to this day.
Many people.
I am a superhero geek,
mm-hmm.
And Batman is still number one.
You know what's cool about Batman?
He's a close second.
You know what's cool about Batman?
What's cool about Batman?
With enough money and enough training, you and I could be Batman.
Yes, we could.
There's no superpowers involved there.
Well, you also have to have some brains, too.
Well, I didn't say it'd be easy, but unlike Superman, since neither one, you know, nobody's going to come from the planet Krypton, anybody with superpowers, you know, that's not going to happen for us. But we could be Batman. Coincidentally, we could be the Green Arrow. Just got to get really good with a bow and arrow.
Exactly.
It's not likely, but it's possible. And therein lies the glimmer of hope.
Personally, I couldn't hit water if I fell out of a boat.
That is, I get that. I've thrown a rock to the ground and missed, so.
Yeah. So, this is what we're looking at today. I got a couple of subjects, and if you're a longtime listener to this show, you know that we rarely stay on any of the planned subjects, but it is what it is. I still want to try. Yesterday in St. Paul,
unmuted.
I lost my train of thought. A verdict came down, and this is a national. This is national news. St. Paul or Twin Cities area cop was charged with shooting a St. Paul man during a traffic stop. Now, the person that was killed was a black man. It sparked riots here in St. Paul, in Minneapolis. There was a lot of emotion over this one. Because, you know, there are a lot of times where there are shootings of individuals. And, you know, as much as you hate to see it, you have to kind of look behind the curtain and say it was kind of justified. From my personal feelings, this wasn't justified. I want to get into that a little bit. Also, the shooting that left several people critically injured, including Congressman Steve Scalise. I want to talk a little bit about the background with that and going forward, what that's going to mean. And, of course, we can't have a show called The Taxi Stand Hour if we don't talk about the latest antics going on in San Francisco.
Oh, my goodness. What happened since we went off the air last week? Oh, my goodness. There's been...
What happened? Yeah.
I mean, remember, we went off the air at 10 a.m. Eastern Time last Saturday, and Sunday this thing just blew up. Out there, out in San Francisco. I don't want to get away from those other things, but, in this day and age of...
Let's start with that.
Well, in this day and age of fast-moving news, my goodness, it's been 5 days. It's old news already.
Oh, yeah.
But do you want to do the recap, or would you like me to do it? I can do it off the top of my head.
Why don't you do the recap?
Okay, last Sunday, the Uber Board of Directors met. I had a number of... Big issues to discuss, not the least of which was Eric Holder's law firm, their investigation of all the sexual harassment and all the shenanigans going on in Uber corporate. The report was finally issued. The Uber board has agreed to follow all of their findings, and I went over it, and any company worth their salt would have every one of these items already in place. This is basic. They're just basic stuff, I'm not even going to go into the details of it because it's just not worth it. Now, in the meantime, it was suggested that Travis Kalanick take a leave of absence. Now, it is just a sad, sad coincidence that his mother passed recently. And they're using that to say, well, he needs time. And I don't doubt that he does. Everybody handles that kind of thing differently. That being said, however, this was coming. There was no question about it. So Kalanick is out, at least for the moment. He's on leave. Whether or not he comes back, old Uncle Ed says no. At that very same meeting, oh my goodness, I can't think of his name now. Kalanick's right-hand man. One of the board members made a stupid joke. Even I thought it was a stupid joke, and I love stupid jokes. And so he's out the door. Basically, this ship has no real crew steering it. Let's put it this way. If you got on the Pacific Princess on the Love Boat, right now Isaac is steering the boat. All the top management are gone, either fired, they quit. They're suspended. Uber is in a shambles right now. And this guy couldn't be happier about it.
Well, somebody mentioned that that Uber now has lawyers.
You dropped out briefly there, John.
I said it's been stated now that Uber has basically been... or is being run by a group of...
It wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah. And the hits really still keep on coming for it. I mean, just because Kalanick went away, that doesn't mean that the problems still aren't there. I mean, you're still seeing the same news stories, mm-hmm. now they're being
wait.
By the FTC.
I'm sorry, I forgot the other big thing that was talked about at that meeting. The gentleman who was in charge of Uber India, there was a young lady who was raped by an Uber driver in India.
Yes.
He not only got a hold of her medical records, but he passed them along to Travis DeKay and the boys. Everybody got a good look at her medical records. That alone should bring this thing down. That alone. So,
I finally kind of discovered why it just seems to be that Uber just seems to be so bulletproof with all this stuff. if you think about it, if you're a politician and you want to keep your job as a city councilman, as a as a state legislator, whatever, whoever is whoever let the wolf in the sheep's den here. Do you really, with as popular as Uber is, do you want to be the government official that wants to shut the door on this nonsense?
I think that was a valid statement 2 years ago. Not so much anymore.
But people, you see, you got to realize, though, people don't care about it. Uber riders do not care about it.
You're telling me?
It's a cheap ride.
You're telling me?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to actually tell everybody else that's listening. It's a cheap ride, and no, they do not care what, you couldn't care if Travis Kalanick treated his female employees pretty much like Donald Trump and grabbing pussy whenever he felt like
no.
it.
I'll tell you what's been interesting going on lately is when I've been doing Uber, I've been using, I won't even mention his name on the air, fellow that uses my van in the morning. I've been using his account. Yeah. He rarely uses it. And I get people getting in, and they refer to me by his name, and that's fine, because that's the name they have. Not one person yet. And this is when we have the discussion about people using phony accounts and whatnot. Not one of them has ever looked at the photograph, or at least not put together the fact that I ain't him. And we really don't look that much alike, other than that we're both older white men. That's it.
Well, there you go.
Exactly.
We all look alike.
People don't care. They
exactly.
I got people wearing like a badge of, oh, I looked at your license plate. Okay, good for you. You looked at my license plate.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm sorry I interrupted you there.
Well, I made my point. Pretty
you did.
Much, so
you did. So Uncle Ed feels vindicated here, to coin a phrase, because he feels that now half of what he has predicted has come true. Early, way early.
Well, now it doesn't count until he's finally moved from the closet to the trash can.
Yeah, but he's in the bag. He's in the bag. He's not coming back.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be enough to bring that piece of shit down.
You're not wrong, but it's shaking it up. What it does, at the very least, it's a change in leadership with perhaps somebody in charge who says, you know what, maybe we don't have to screw the entire world to succeed. Maybe we don't have to be this rogue company breaking laws and ignoring lawful orders and getting sued every 20 minutes. You know, that's what it needs right now. If it's going to survive at all, which I still don't believe it will,
I don't think much will change.
You could be right. You could be right, but Uncle Ed still feels vindicated no matter what you say. So now we got the
you
other
know,
one.
The thing is they announced all these changes that are coming to Uber. When it comes to management, employees...
The word driver or passenger was never mentioned once in that report.
You were absolutely right. That's what I was getting.
Not once.
Absolutely. That was... I want to feel sorry for the drivers here. Because they are getting screwed over, and some of them are actually liking it.
Mm-hmm. Some of them just don't know any better.
And the person referred to in the past here, the one that had the fake driver, she's cast Uber aside. She says it's a joke.
Of course it is.
You know, except jokes are funny. This was pathetic. Well, some jokes are funny, I guess.
Hey, I like to believe all jokes are funny in their own special way, but that's just me. That's just me. Hey, I'm going to go off the tracks here a little bit. I just want to say I'm just very happy about this, and I'll move on. Is that you notice how you and I can hear each other and we're not talking over each other?
Oh, I know. Isn't that great?
It must have sounded horrible. Actually, I've listened to the replays, and this is a technical issue, kids and kittens. We solved that one. That was one of the drawbacks with Blog Talk Radio, was that...
It was horrible. I don't think it was really designed to have two people have a conversation in it, unless they are in the same room and using a soundboard.
Right.
But trying to do it, you know, cross country like that just didn't really work. You know, it served its purpose, but I'm glad we moved forward.
I didn't know what you sounded like with a clear signal until the other day. I had no clue.
Anyways, again, the number you want to call here if you want to join into this conversation is 720-820-1203. We want to join in the conversation. It sounded like you had somebody there on hold for a second and they dropped, huh?
They did. I think it was the same person who was on at the very end of the show last week. So whoever that was, you feel free to call back.
Hell yeah.
I've had the opportunity the past week or so to listen to our friends over in London, listen to the Cab Chat show. They seem to have a pretty good time over there with that.
They really do.
They make up songs, and we're nowhere close to that.
Oh, no. But we're going to learn from it.
Oh, yes. We are definitely going to learn from it. I think what I'm really taken away from that is the camaraderie that they really have, and they're focused, and they don't seem to be alarmist. There's an issue. There's a problem. They're upset about it. But they don't have to sit there and call people names and get nasty. They are really, really working towards saving their industry.
Oh, they don't call people names, kind of like you and I do, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, what can I say? We're just low life Americans. That goes with the territory. But I really enjoyed Sean Paul Day and the crew over there. Gentleman Cabby and the rest. Doing a fine job, guys, and we hope to learn from you.
And we are actually airing on Radio TFI. We are airing rebroadcasts of their show. Tell us when you were planning on putting that up.
The schedule right now is 4 p.m. daily. Actually, let's talk about that quickly. For the moment, we'll be airing our Saturday shows at 10 a.m. we'll be rebroadcasting them. The London show, we're scheduling for 4 p.m. daily. And starting next week, starting Tuesday actually, at 8 p.m., we'll be rebroadcasting the Monday night show. The Monday night show? When did we get a Monday night show, John?
Well, you're the boss. You tell us what.
Oh, that's right. Monday night show. Starting this Monday at 8 o'clock, I'll be solo hosting the second edition of the Taxi Stand Hour, or as John likes to call it, Taxi Stand Hour After Dark. This week I'll have a good friend of mine, Mac the Hack, is coming in. He tells me he's going to bring his guitar with him, and we're going to sit here and chat for about an hour about the cab business, et cetera, et cetera. And hopefully I can get him to play a couple tunes. He's a very, very talented musician. And, we're going to go from there. And that we're going to replay at 8 p.m. The schedule thing is going to fluctuate as we move on and as we get more content and et cetera. You know, it's most definitely a work in progress. Okay, enough about the backstage stuff.
Exactly. A couple little things more about Uber from the driver standpoint here. I was looking at a story. I forget where this originally came from, but apparently there was a driver. I'll just read it this way; I won't stumble over it. Uber has acted swiftly to get a driver who some are calling offensive off the streets. A passenger recorded the driver and sent in a complaint to the rideshare company. The driver is heard saying, "My dream is to have some drunk chick by herself, also going home at the end of my shift, and she wants me to come in. That would be a pretty perfect ending." The man who wants to remain anonymous says that the recording is from a conversation he had during a ride in San Jose. Okay, that tells me where it was. The driver also heard saying, "Half the work is already done, man. She's isolated and she's drunk." Now, this driver was basically talking about a fantasy he was having to another male passenger. He basically telling him, you know, this is a fantasy, this is a goal or whatever. And to Uber's credit, they actually got this bastard off the road before he was actually able to kind of act out on that fantasy. And I guess if you got to give the devil his due, I'm glad that they acted on it.
Well, what kind of fool broadcasts this kind of stuff?
Well, what he did is his passenger was recording it.
Oh, I understand. I missed that part.
Yeah, his passenger was back there recording this conversation. And there's a lesson to be learned on this. Uber is expecting professionalism from amateurs. No cab driver in his right mind, regardless of what's going on in his noodle, would ever relay that type of, type of fantasy or whatever to a passenger, because this day and age, you never know.
Well, I understand it. I also live by the credo, nothing happens in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, did this guy just start spouting this stuff? Was it part of a longer conversation where they were talking silly nonsense, which we've all done with customers, and you know, and now the passenger is recording the conversation? Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is fine or acceptable, but to your point, Uber and Lyft are both outfits that throw people out there with the public with zero training, nothing. They have a little video they want you to watch, but beyond that, you know, at least at a cab company, you've got, nowadays, everybody's training everybody. It's, you know, in my day, you were handed the keys, and that was it. Here, you're a cab driver. Congratulations. A little bit of training on procedures, but this day and age...
that was over 30 years ago.
Right, right.
You know, major cities have been doing training. I mean, I remember my short tenure in Orlando, Florida.
Hey, John, what do you say we take a call?
Oh, hey, we got a caller?
Yep, hold on.
Well, rock and roll.
Area code 678, welcome to the show.
Well, hello from Atlanta.
Oh, it's our friend from Atlanta.
I can hear my own echo in your distant garbled voices. But on the radio, you sound okay.
Well, thank you. This is not our preferred method for phone calls, but right now it's doing in a pinch.
Yeah. I always like the phone on the table next to the microphone. But anyhow, I don't know how it all works. I know the Internet is very well connected these days. Like you said, you get the London podcast weekly. That comes through across the ocean, across the cable pretty good.
Cable, they deliver it by carrier pigeon.
Yeah, and telegraph too, I hear. So
how you doing, young man?
The Chicago medallion situation. You want one?
They're giving
Chicago
them away.
Chicago medallion?
Are they giving them away?
Well, I heard 40% of the Chicago taxi medallions have been turned back in.
Not surprised. Not surprised.
Why aren't those Uber drivers grabbing them?
Because they don't know what to do with them either.
Well, exactly.
Well, apparently. But they do still have them in various cities, don't they?
Oh yes, the city I'm in right now. We still have permits.
Yeah, the permits.
Medallions. Well, you have permits, but like a medallion system, like in New York City, they'll sell a medallion for like $1 million.
We call them permits here, but it's the same system.
Yeah. Down here, I guess in Atlanta, you would say CPNC numbers.
There you go.
Something about certificate of public necessity.
There you go. That's exactly what we have.
Something. And down here in Atlanta, there's about 1,600.
Well, here
CPNC numbers that are said to exist.
Here in Broward County, we have just shy of 1,000.
Okay, so, I don't know how it works everywhere, but down here in Atlanta, I came to discover the taxi fleet owners is tricky devils. Some of them would just use the number twice on two cars.
Well, that would be a pretty shady deal.
I'm not really sure. I'm not sure which is shadier, but, Uber and Lyft, they've added, maybe about 90,000 cars to the mix.
Because there's very little barrier for entry.
Maybe 50,000 of them are working. Maybe any time on the road they have, who knows, a lot. A lot of extra cars plus mm-hmm. the 1,600 alleged, taxi cabs. And then, everybody's complaining that they're saturating the market and bringing down the wages, profits.
Well, they are. They most certainly are. How are things going for you in Atlanta?
Well, I'm doing just fine because I only have four tires. My back seat only holds maybe 2, 4, 5 people. Cram 6, 7 in there, but don't tell anyone. I'm legally allowed to have like 4 or 5. I forget the number.
It's the number of seatbelts.
I'm legal up to 500 miles with like one less passenger than I'll actually perhaps have. Just to, confess all my illegal taxi operations.
Oh, don't do that.
But, I'm doing okay because everybody's mad at everybody they ever rode with. So.
I don't know. I'm not
busy right now, though. I've got time to talk to you. Now, this medallion system, I guess the big news for myself this week is my company. I'm now on the Ethereum blockchain. I will be shortly.
I don't know.
You've heard of the Ethereum? Like the Bitcoin. Bitcoin's about as popular.
Yeah, that's make-believe money.
But anyhow, the thing is like up till now, the government's been certifying taxis with the permits and the CPNC numbers and the medallions and everything. And all that money is going to go somewhere. Went somewhere. A medallion at one time might have been worth $500,000. So if you yourself as an independent taxi operator with one car, and I heard you might have had a dozen.
Might work
better for a guy, with a dozen.
I had 12 cars at one point, but bear in mind, that number that you're saying here, $1 million in New York and maybe $500,000 in Atlanta, that's the secondary market. When you get the permit and the medallion, the number, whatever you happen to call it, from the governing authority, it's usually, I'll tell you how it works here in Broward County. There's a lottery. It's $400 to enter the lottery. You win a permit, it's $1,000 to activate it and $250 a year to renew it each and every year. Now, over the years, those permits have sold for upwards of $170,000, but that's the secondary market and not what the actual government is charging for the permit. So you have to make that distinction. The government's, this is one of those cases where the government's not hiding anything from you.
Right. Well, that's a good distinction to make, and, I'm glad you pointed that out because I don't know what they pay for a CPNC number down here. But it's not $100,000,
which
is about maybe what they're worth these days.
Well, the prices are dropping everywhere.
And I don't know what they're doing with them. I really couldn't tell you because the Supreme Court of Georgia just declared that it was okay to have Uber and Lyft, and obviously a CPNC number means nothing.
Nothing. Nope.
And there's these signs, you know, here's the crazy thing. It just gets crazier the closer you look. There's these signs at the bus stations, and, you know, they have the taxi line down at the airport. But, like, at the bus station, it says taxi parking only. Well, the government, the police, the MARTA people, the bus people, you know, they put the signs there.
Right.
They're the ones, you know, who came up with this whole system.
But here's
what... They got the taxis parked way over, you know, 500, 1,000 yards from where the people come out. And up on the front row there, there's a kissing parking. And that's where all the Uber drivers park. And they stand out on the front of their cars and the people come out. And they go, where do you want to go?
Well, you have to keep in mind what the issue there is. It's not about laws. It's about enforcement. And most places have discovered enforcing taxi regulations, in their mind, it's just not worth it. They just don't care. Nobody cares about
it. The number one Uber driver here in Atlanta came down here from Pennsylvania, still has, and he brags about this on YouTube. He's like Jimmy John. He's Uber guy on the YouTube, not Uber man, Uber guy.
Yeah, Uber man.
And he's got a Pennsylvania license plate, and this weekend he's getting as drunk as hell and going Ubering all weekend long.
Good.
He's going to be Uber driving all weekend long, and he's getting drunk as hell. That's what he declared on his YouTube channel. Now, but the thing is, he's got a Pennsylvania license plate.
Yeah, we see that a lot.
No sort of permits, the only background check was the, you know, I've got a, you know, phone next to me on the couch next to the bag of Cheetos Uber check.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send him a photo of my brother's license.
That's all it takes.
My mom's, you know, insurance.
That's all it takes. Well, hopefully.
If I need an inspection, I can buy them. There are places on the internet that you can get your Uber car inspected.
If you have any Photoshop skills, you can do all of that without leaving your bedroom.
Yeah. So
yeah.
From Pennsylvania,
hang on a second.
It's the front row.
John had a question for you.
In front of the transit station.
Yeah.
That they say they all want to be safe and regulated.
Right. Hang on. John had a question for you.
I was going to ask you, did you send me a link to that by chance? I thought I saw that on my phone earlier.
What exactly do you mean?
About this,
a link to
Uber
guy.
Oh, yeah, I can barely hear him, but, yeah, on the YouTube, it's Uber Guy is the name of his channel, so I imagine if you search for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll look that up later.
Right. But I have his videos. If you go to ubervideos.316taxi.com, all the Uber videos are there, and, you know, he likes to say Uber's a great job because you can stop and do whatever you want. You can stop and go in a bar or a club and drink,
sure.
Go home and party and drink. He went to his drug dealer's house on the YouTube Live. Oh, I'm just taking a break from Uber, going to go run some errands. He goes and, you know, pulls into some guy's driveway, puts his camera on pause, and then, you know, a minute later he's driving back up down the road. I mean, I'm just assuming he's getting drugs there. I don't know.
Well, you don't know for sure, but
you know, I guess it's wrong for me to, you know, put that out there like that. Like, you know, I'm sure he was picking up a Bible from his buddy or, you know, something.
That's what he's going to tell the police. I came here to pick up the keys.
Listen, we complain about the Uber and Lyft drivers, but here myself, you know, locally, they have taken a lot of this weekly hotel to weekly hotel. I got to go upstairs for 5 minutes traffic away from me. I don't have to deal with it anymore.
Yeah, there is.
There are advantages.
Yes, there are. I totally agree with you. All right, my friend, we appreciate you calling in. We're gonna move on. We got some other things we want to get to today, but you keep on plugging away, and we'll keep an eye out. We look forward to talking to you again.
Put your radio link on the everything, your Twitter and whatnot.
We have.
You know, you got about 14 listeners this week, and you got to get it out there so you can sell advertising.
Oh, we're not worried about advertising, but we do want to build up the
not
listeners.
Not now, but for the future years, the 5-year plan. You always got to think ahead.
All right, my friend. You have a good one now. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks.
Later.
For calling.
Later. Take it easy.
Yep, take it easy. Always an interesting fellow there.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on. The time is getting short again. I mentioned this to you in the pre-show. My favorite phrase of the week, lawyers lawyering up. Lawyers getting lawyers.
Yes, they are.
Just if he would just shut his mouth, if our president would just shut his mouth, he would stop digging these holes that he finds himself in. And apparently he wasn't in any kind of trouble until he started running his mouth.
Well, yeah.
Well. But
the type of guy that thinks that he's above everything. He is beyond reproach.
Indeed he is.
Who's in his business life.
Who does he think he is? Me?
That's it.
The nerve. The nerve of some people, I tell you what. But it was his birthday the other day, and apparently he just... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, see, we miss so much. You miss so much when you're only on once a week. There was the the cabinet meeting. Oh, praise you, Almighty One. Thank you for allowing me to breathe the air, share the oxygen with you on Planet Trump. Did you see that cabinet meeting?
I did not.
Oh, the kissing of ass was... And he started it by going on about no president has done more and been greater, et cetera, et cetera. And they went around the table, and boy, oh boy, his ass must be worn out from all the kissing.
You know what? Now that you mention it, I didn't realize the connection at the time, but we have a political cartoonist here in this area by the name of Steve Sack, and he drew up something with basically a bunch of kiss marks on his ass. And
that's,
so I wasn't quite sure what that was all about. But
that's what it's about.
Wow.
That's exactly what it's about. So, you know, and on top of his birthday, so he's had a special little week he did. And, now he was down here yesterday. He was in Miami. And now he's monkeying around with all the Cuba stuff. From what I understand, he came out and said, oh, we're doing a full reversal on everything Obama did with Cuba. Turns out it's some fringe stuff. It's not really anything, but here he is coming in and undoing things that took a long time to get done. And
for what reason?
Exactly. And what is the point? What is the point?
The point is to try to demolish the legacy of probably one of the best presidents we've had in my lifetime.
Yes. Yes, I agree with that. He.
That's all he's doing.
Somebody made the point, and it was very, and it's true. He spoke to a crowd of, I don't even know how big the crowd size was. But, so of course, he plays to his base, period. He doesn't, and now he's got all these Cubans down there in Miami. By the way, some of these folks are in their 80s and they're still fighting the Castro thing. Hello, Castro's dead. It's over. You know, yes, there was a lot, they had good, valid points back in the day. It is over. The other Castro brothers about to keel over. Now that the American dollars are rolling, and believe you me, they will be a capitalist society before you know it. There will be Holiday Inns popping up, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, so it's undoing things just for the sake of doing it. It's like a two-year-old on a temper tantrum.
I saw this morning, and I didn't get a chance to look into it, but and this could be quote-unquote fake news, but somewhere I saw that there was consideration that Cuba might actually open up a Russia might actually open up a military base in Cuba.
Well, that would be nice.
That?
No, I did not.
Like I said, it could have been just a blip that you know, that could be totally fake news. But boy, what would that mean to Cuba, U.S. relations?
Well, considering we've got Guantanamo Bay, and
yeah. We're gonna have Russia and the United States gonna have a proxy war on Cuba. Just to both of
I could drive down to Key West and watch it from there.
Yeah, no shit.
It's only a 4-hour drive. It's a lovely drive too, by the way. If you've never been, the drive into the Keys is spectacular. Once you get off the mainland, past Florida City, it is 126 miles to Key West. And on a nice, clear morning, you get down to the 7-mile bridge. It's about 40-some-odd miles outside of Key West. You get out to the middle of the bridge, and it's two lanes each direction, about 25, 30 feet off the water. You're out in the middle of nowhere. There's no other land. To one side is the Gulf of Mexico. To the other side is the Atlantic Ocean. There's nothing like it. But I digress.
I got a... Maybe next vacation we take, maybe we'll go down to Florida.
We don't want you here. We don't want you here.
Well, kiss my ass. I'm coming anyway.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Oh. Can we get into this here a little bit? I wanted to talk about this... excuse me for a second. This verdict in the...
Absolutely.
Yeah, the ramifications from that.
Now, before you get started, can I make I'd like to make a statement about that.
Okay.
From what I know, okay, and I'm not a gun person. I firmly believe guns are dangerous, and most people don't know what they're doing with them. That being said, if someone has gone through the process and they have their proper carry permit, and as apparently was the case with this gentleman, he had a permit, he had a gun in the car, he informed the officer of all of that. And yet the officer opened fire anyway.
Seven shots.
And right, it was broadcast on Facebook. So, seven shots tells me you panicked. Seven shots tells me you suck at firing a gun, because from that range, if you can't disable that man with one bullet, you suck at shooting.
This guy made Barney Fife look like Dirty Harry. Exactly. You almost could picture this guy like Barney Fife, you know, kind of shaking and...
Taking that bullet out of the shirt pocket.
Time. Yeah, exactly.
See, that's why Andy only gave him one bullet, and he had to keep it in his pocket.
Exactly. No, I'm just, you know, we up here in Minnesota were absolutely stunned by this verdict. And to the credit, there were obviously going to be protests about it with the verdict. There were. They started at the Minnesota State Capitol, worked their way down, eventually blocked the light rail line between Minneapolis and St. Paul, and then they proceeded down to the Interstate 94 that connects Minneapolis and St. Paul, and they had it shut down for a good couple hours. But you know what? It was peaceful.
Yep.
And hats off to these people. Yeah, there were a couple of fools dancing around, but they weren't part of the protest. They were just
right
there to be idiots. But the protesters were peaceful. They made their point. I think they'll probably be out today. This isn't going away anytime soon.
Nor should it.
No. As long as it's peaceful protest, rock and roll, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, with my knowledge as a cab driver, if I know that something's being shut down, I know five different ways around it. So that's...
Well, and again, getting back to the more important issue is... Now, I heard on the news this morning that... is it St. Anthony? Is that the name of the town? This happened in?
Well, no, it happened in the city of Falcon Heights.
Okay. I thought I heard something about St. Anthony.
St. Anthony's police are doing police service for Falcon Heights. It's
all
kind of a close community.
Gotcha. Be that as it may, they've already said that, you know, they're going to let this guy go. You know, which is all fine and well, basically because him being out there serves no purpose. You know,
he needs to leave.
He needs to leave the state
right now because they're. There are enough nut jobs out there that, you know, as pissed off as I am about this verdict, I don't want to see anybody, you know, doing any vigilante justice out there.
No, no. And normally, you know, a situation like this, like you started off with, usually there's some kind of justification that you can kind of wrap your head around and go, okay, he was, you know, acting up, acting out, doing this, doing that, you know, not following you. Commands, et cetera, et cetera. Clearly not the case here. Clearly not the case.
No,
and watching his mother in tears, usually I turn it off at that point because they're getting all excited over a known thug. But that doesn't appear to be the case here at all. And
absolutely
that's a shame.
Absolutely not. Philando Castillo worked in the St. Paul School District. He worked in the cafeteria there, as I remember. He was loved by the kids there. Yes, he had some bad habits like we all had. Apparently, he had some marijuana in his system, you know, but...
I'm not freaking out about pot.
No, absolutely not. This was a complete travesty of justice. I do not... No matter how much they want to protest this, you know, rock and roll, the city is yours because I can't understand how the jury could have come with a not guilty plea or not guilty verdict.
The little bit I heard this morning, a little bit of the story that I said, it was one of the jurors was quoted as saying, "We followed the law." And we applied the law to it. You know, what's legal is not always what's right. And that's difficult for folks to understand sometimes. It doesn't make me any happier about the verdict. And I don't know all the details as far as what their line of thinking was. But I can understand that as far as the jury is concerned. Okay, I've served on juries. And you have to really focus on just staying in your lane. You can't start thinking about, well, what if this had happened? What? No. It's here's what happened. Here's the law as it applies to it. Do you think that law was violated? You know, or what? Not even do you think. Was it? Yes or no? So as far as that goes, I can see how it could happen. But and from what I got from the jury member they spoke to, they were all busted up about it, too. It wasn't a verdict they wanted to reach. So.
Yeah, but it got reached,
it
and
did.
Now I saw in the news that they were gonna that the feds might get involved with this. There may be an investigation there. I think that at least there should be a wrongful death lawsuit.
Oh,
that
there
his
will
family
be.
Should pursue.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It might be like OJ.
Yeah.
OJ was found not guilty for. On the criminal case, but he definitely caught it in the shorts in the civil lawsuit.
Right. Well, the burden of proof is less in the civil.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would imagine that's going to happen.
This isn't over by
no.
any means.
No. No. Nor should it be, honestly, this particular case. Every one of these cases is different, and, you know, it's just... horrifying. I had a young man in the car yesterday. He's very, very interesting young man. A clear British accent from Australia, African-American young male, 26 years old. And he's lived in London for the past 10 years. His parents are from Nigeria. It was a whole story. But we were talking about this whole thing, and he mentioned this case. And he was talking about the issue he has. When people are, he was talking about being an American and how racist it is. He says, And people are kind of put off by me until I open my mouth. And then suddenly they're calm and relaxed because they hear the English accent. I said, that's because, you know, you got a lot of guys out there who have mangled the English language and don't take the time to just speak to somebody, properly. You don't have to be an English professor. And, you know, he was saying, he says, it frustrates me that I watch these guys walking around with their pants down around their butt and all that, and I get lumped in with all that, you know. And, you know, he has a very valid point. I don't know.
You can't judge. And even the thing is, I think it's probably one of the most disgusting things in the world to view somebody with his pants down over or below his ass. I think it is, and especially when they're close in range and I bent over and I have to stare at his ass.
Right.
I had one guy in my cab a couple weeks ago where he couldn't control his pants. It was so bad that he got out of the cab and I got not the quarter moon, I got the full moon.
Mm.
He couldn't control anything.
I was walking into Walmart late last night. I needed to pick up some things. It was the only place open. And two guys. One was white, one was black. They weren't together, but both of them walking with their pants down so low, they could barely walk. And I'm thinking to myself, what? I sometimes, just to cheer myself up, I'll watch videos of these nitwits running from the cops because they can't.
Yeah.
You know, I had a fellow about a month or two ago. I think it was a Lyft ride. I pulled up, and it's him and a woman, and his pants were literally halfway between his waist and his knees.
Yeah.
And I looked at them. I said, no, I'm not taking you. And she got all upset, and she's like, why? I said, because your man doesn't know how to dress himself. I'm not dealing with this, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't, you're racist. Well, maybe I am, but your man is too stupid to wear his pants properly, so.
It's not a matter of racism, because black folks don't have a corner on that market when it comes to dressing that. You know, white guys are doing it. Mexicans, yeah. Asians, they're all, you know, they're all doing it.
It's interesting that the young man I was talking about yesterday, we got to talking about that, and I was, you know, I explained to him how, you know, how it's come back to me. You know, I've been called, you know, they start getting racist because they don't get their way. And he said the phrase I use, he said it word for word. He says, you're not doing it because they're black, you're doing it because they're idiots. I said, that is absolutely correct.
Oh, man. So, a couple of things here before we go off the
air. You got a minute and a half.
A minute and a half. Well, first off, I want to send out my prayers and wishes for the folks in London after that.
Yes.
That fire.
Oh, my.
21 people now, I understand.
The UK's having a tough go of it.
That is horrible. And again, you know, the London cabbies were there to rescue, take people away from the area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Uber was surge pricing or not at that point in time. I didn't see any reports, so I don't want to assume. And also, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, your heart has to go out to Congressman Steve Scalise. They say he's starting to turn, maybe starting to get a little bit better here, still in critical condition.
Mm.
I don't care what how pissed off you are about a Donald Trump presidency. We are not the type of nation that does this type of shit. And while I might have agreed with his agenda, if you will, he was very vocal about tax fairness and the like.
It's certainly not his methods.
No, not his methods. Absolutely not. So that's all I got on that.
That's I agree with everything you said, and it's a perfect piece of timing.
You found the taxi stand.
Oh, that's the wrong one.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Oh, on radio, PSI.
Well, obviously they found it.
Hold on a second. That's the one I wanted. That's the one we wanted. We're going to run a couple seconds. We'll run a couple seconds over here, but... All right, John. All right, very good. We'll thanks for joining us, folks. We'll see you next Saturday at 10 a.m. I'll be back on Monday night at 8 p.m. Join us then. See ya!